Now let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 3. Now I haven't preached yet on verses 1 to 6 of this chapter. But I promise we will come back to that probably in maybe about 3 weeks' time. God willing. We're going to look at verses 8 to 15 where we read. So 1 Peter chapter 3. And well, we thought about it with the children, verse 15, in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. But let's just read the first words of verse 10. Whoever would love life and see good days. Who among you here this morning would love life and would see good days? Well, that's me. I'm sure it's you as well. Each one of us wants to love life and we want to see good days. We want a better future. And of course, we know that we are being promised the opportunity to decide for a better future in about 3 weeks' time. We're going to have an opportunity to vote for a better future on the 18th of September. A better future. Better together or better apart. And I'm sure that you'll all vote. And it's a great privilege to be able to do that. Some of you will vote yes, and some of you will vote no. Some of me will vote yes, and some of me will vote no. And I'll have to decide which part of me gets the casting vote. It's not an easy decision. So, things are going to be fine. We're going to have a better future. We're going to see good days. Because we're going to get to vote for that on the 18th of September. Is it that simple? If only it was that simple. This passage here is about the future. It's about what verse 9 calls inheriting a blessing. In verse 10, it's about seeing good days. And of course, this quotation is from Psalm 34. We're going to sing that at the close of the service tonight, today. So maybe if we study this passage, if it's about the future and how to have a good future, maybe it'll tell us how to vote in the referendum. Well, maybe it will, but I'm certainly not clever enough or enlightened enough to see exactly how it would tell us that. But what I want to share with you today are three things which, regardless of which way the vote goes in 3 weeks' time, will definitely make the future better for us. Three things that will definitely give us good days and will definitely improve the future of our lives, our congregation, our community and our country, if we live by these three things that Peter describes in this passage. Three things that will be a help to those who get what they want on the 18th and those who do not. Three things that definitely will make for a better future. Three things that would be well for not only Christians to follow, but for our politicians and leaders to follow, for everyone to follow. Here's the first of them. Christians, Peter's saying, be the kind of community you would like Lochalsh and Scotland to be. Christians, be the kind of community that you would like Lochalsh and Scotland to be. And for that, we particularly look to verse 8, where Peter says, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Be the kind of community, that's us, that we would like the whole of our area to be and that we would like the whole of our country to be. Probably the whole of the UK and the whole of Europe and the whole of the world as well. Community. Community is a good thing, we all know that. The word community comes from the Latin word communis, which means things that are held in common. So a community is a group of people who hold things in common. They've got shared values, and they freely share their resources to help one another as well. So a community is a happy place. It's a unit of happiness. And obviously, if the United Kingdom was functioning as a community, as a close community, we wouldn't be having this vote in 3 weeks' time. And maybe part of what we really are seeking as we cast our vote is community. We know that the United Kingdom has been much more of a community in the past, particularly in times of war, but perhaps not the same today. But we know as well that we can't make community out of politics, and we can't make community out of economic policy. Community is not something that springs up just because a political party happens to say, here is our manifesto, here is what we're going to do, and if we do it, we'll produce community. You can't do that through politics. Politics is very important, but it has its limitations. Economic policy is very important, but it has its limitations. Community has to come about in another way. Now, we all know community when it happens. I think that we all recognise with gratitude that we are part of a community where there is still a level of mutual support. We've seen that in the past few days, in the numbers who gather to support families in the church here in the last few days at the services. I was speaking to someone on Friday who lives in Coventry, and he was saying to me that he had driven past while the service was on here on Thursday, and he said he was moved deeply, because he said when his mother's funeral had taken place not so long ago, there was just a handful of people came out to support the family. So the evidence of community is here, and it's something for which we really need to be thankful and which we want to nurture. And what is it that makes community happen? Well, community comes about when people's hearts are united, when people share in their hearts common goals, common values, when they care about the same thing, the same principles, or the same person. So if there is anyone on this earth that should know about community, it would be Christians. They should know more about community than anyone, because what marks out a Christian is who rules on their hearts. Our hearts are united and bowed before the same Lord. As Peter says in verse 15, in our hearts we set apart Christ as Lord. A Christian is someone whose heart says, Jesus is Lord. That's what a Christian is. Our hearts say, Jesus is Lord. And I know that you'll have found, and I've found, wherever you travel, when you meet people whose hearts say Christ is Lord, and if your heart says Christ is Lord, you immediately know that you can relate and be close to these people and have community with them. And Peter is seeking that Christians will really be conscious of that as the reality that they live within. Christ is Lord, and because of that, we try to develop a community like what is described in verse 8. And there are five words in verse 8 that Peter uses. The first one is translated here as live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony. And it simply means be of one mind. Be of one mind. And you and I get together on a Sunday morning and other times to learn to be of one mind in our understanding of what the truth is. It's the truth we seek. There is only one truth, and the more we understand that one truth in Jesus Christ, the more we will be of one mind. The second word is the word in Greek, sympathize, just simply the word that is translated as sympathetic. Be sympathetic. And literally that means feel what other people feel. Feel what other people feel. So don't just be enclosed in your own little world, a selfish world, but when others are rejoicing, you rejoice. And when others are in need, you feel their need and you share their need. When others sorrow, you sorrow with them. That is community. And then there's the word Philadelphia, love as brothers is translated here. Love as sisters. You know, love with the kind of love that comes from having the same Father. The same Father in heaven. That's again our goal. And then there's the word that's translated, be compassionate. Literally means having good insides, pretty much is what it means. Having your insides which move when you feel compassion, to moving with compassion well. You know, be tender-hearted is another way you can translate this. Be tender-hearted. You know, really seek to keep your emotions in a place of openness and in a place of awareness of others. Be tender-hearted. And then be humble in mind is literally, again, the last word. Be humble in mind. Don't think yourself high and mighty. Recognize your need of the community, your need of other people's thinking as well as your own, and share. It's a beautiful picture, and with Christ as Lord, it's what we aspire to, not just here in the Free Church congregation, but you know, with brothers and sisters and other congregations around the community. We are very, very conscious. I mean, I pray that we will be united with other congregations in the area. I pray we will actually unite with them, and that we'll no longer be two congregations, we'll be one congregation, because that is really the full expression of what we have here with Christ as Lord. And the Christian church is the most inclusive community on the planet, because people whose hearts say Jesus is Lord are found, as Revelation says, in every nation, tribe, people and language. In the church there are found people from every conceivable corner of the globe, male and female, rich and poor, people who vote yes and people who vote no, people with different sexual temptations who seek to bring their lives chastely under the Lordship of Jesus, people with other kinds of temptations who struggle, people who know what it is to be addicted, people who know what it is to suffer from mental health issues, people who know what it is to be deeply in debt, all kinds of people. The church embraces people of all kinds of orientations and situations who are seeking to turn their lives around under the Lordship of Jesus. It is the most inclusive body on the planet. And the strange thing is, we are always being accused of being exclusive and intolerant. The church has always been accused of that. It was accused of that in Peter's day, of course. You can see hints of that in verse 12 of chapter 2. They accuse you of doing wrong. Chapter 3 here, we didn't quite get to reading verse 16. They speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ. People are always accusing the church of intolerance, and those people are often very intolerant, and they don't know how to form inclusive communities. But the church should be an inclusive community. So let those whose hearts say Jesus is Lord show the world, show Lochalsh, show Scotland what community is, and let the only thing that we are intolerant of be sin. Then those around us will see an attractive and a better way in the church as we live in harmony with one another, because we all have hearts that say Jesus Christ is Lord. He's on the throne of our hearts. So that's the first principle. Form the kind of community that you want La Hache and Scotland to be. The second one is this: treat others as you want them to treat you. You can see that in verses 9 to 11. Don't repay evil with evil, but with blessing, says Peter. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from deceitful speech. Don't slander. Turn from evil, verse 11, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Treat others as you want them to treat you. Of course, these are words that Jesus himself said. And as we vote for a better future, and this is certainly what you and I want, we want others to treat us, or we want rather to treat others as others would treat us. And it's a great challenge for us to do that in the leading up to the 18th of September, because there is evidence in our country that the passions are running so high with some people that they're very much not going to be happy if they don't get their way. Christians mustn't be like that. No, if we don't get our way, but others do, that's democracy, then we want to treat them the way we would hope they would treat us if we got our way in democracy and they didn't. We do not wish slander. Verse 10, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. We want to seek peace with others. We don't want to repay evil with evil, but verse 11, we want to seek peace and pursue it. These are very important things for Christians. This week, Jim Murphy had to stop campaigning because of the hostility from Yes supporters, which he claimed was orchestrated. And this culminated in him being egged in Kirkcaldy. Now, just stop and think for a minute. Who would you egg? Who would you egg? Who would you throw an egg at? Who would you slander? Who would you refuse to bless, as verse 9 says? With whom would you resist being at peace, as verse 11 says? Who would you egg? You tempted to think about someone just now. You saw them on the street and you happened to have an egg in your hand. No one was looking. Who would you egg? You don't egg anyone because you want to see good days, don't you? Verse 10. Whoever would love life and see good days doesn't throw eggs at other people just because you don't happen to agree with their policies or because you don't happen to agree with their particular orientation at the ballot box. You do as Jesus teaches you. And what does Jesus teach? Well, you pray for his help. His ears are attentive to your prayer, verse 12 says. You pray for his help, that no matter what people are saying, no matter what their views, and no matter how hostile they may be to you and your views, you repay their evil and their insult with blessing, as verse 9 says. If you, without slandering, but seeking peace and repaying evil with blessing, live in such a way in La Hache, and if we live in such a way among ourselves, Scotland will be a better place without us having even to cast a vote. That's the second thing. The third thing is this: don't make your choices by fear, but by faith. Don't make your choices by fear, but by faith. And I think I'm looking at 11, verses 12, 13, 14 for that. And especially, the words that are quoted from Isaiah 8. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Verse 14. As we seek a better future, we are being invited by both sides of the campaign to be afraid. Steve Holmes, who's a theology lecturer at St Andrews University, said this week, The visions are apocalyptic. If we say no, our devolved NHS will be sucked into privatisation. Our children will be thrust into poverty. Our natural wealth will be stolen away by London. Our pride and nationhood will be destroyed. If we say yes, by contrast, our economy will collapse, not least because we won't have a currency to use. Our pension funds will be worthless, our banks will be unsustainable, and our businesses will all relocate south of the border, which will be marked by high fences and patrolled by armed guards to protect England against our lax immigration policy. Of course, he's speaking tongue-in-cheek. But both sides are putting forward their apocalyptic visions, as he says. And we know that on September the 19th, a large proportion, at least a third of the population of Scotland, will be disappointed. Many will be outraged. Many will be fearful. Much more so than after an ordinary election, because this is bigger than politics. This one isn't just about politics and policy. This one is about our sense of identity. This one is about our national identity. This one is about nationalism and nationalism. Nationalism is a very potent force. It isn't necessarily a good thing. Where it is a good thing, it means love of your country. It means patriotism. It's positive. It can be really attractive when viewed by people outside of the community in which it exists. And in this sense, Christians should be nationalistic because we are citizens, as Peter has told us earlier, of the United Kingdom of Christ. Not a geographical or political entity, but a heavenly entity. And when we live, as it says in verse 8, under Jesus as Lord, we are an attractive body. That kind of nationalism is good. But there is a nationalism which is fear and hate. A nationalism in which people fear and hate other countries, other ethnic groups, other tribes, which is a form of chauvinism, jingoism. It's fanatical. It's aggressive. It's intolerant of those who are outside of the group and the community. And there's a lot of that in the world. It's that kind of nationalism that drives fanatical, militant Islam. And commentators are saying all around Europe, it's on the resurgence. People with that kind of nationalism make their decisions out of fear. Fear's not a positive thing, and not a good basis for making positive decisions for the future. But that's not how Christians are to live. Do not fear, says verse 14, what these people fear. Isaiah said of his own community where people were fearing what other countries would do, and at the same time they lacked the fear of God. Christians live in a different way. We live under Christ as Lord. We trust Him. We pray to Him. We know that Jesus Christ will give us a great future. As verse 12 says, His eyes are on the righteous, His ears are attentive to our prayers. But we also know that His face is set against those who do evil. He is the future, Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And ultimately, all futures head towards Him. Because one day soon, politics will be over, and economics will be over, and national boundaries will be over. God will judge. And His face is set against those who do evil. His face is set against chauvinistic nationalism. His face is set against those who destroy community, those who break down the fraternity that should exist between people and which the church must try to exemplify within her midst. As Christians today, people whose hearts say Jesus Christ is Lord, we are going to inherit. We're going to inherit a blessing, says verse 9. We're not going to inherit an independent Scotland or a United Kingdom or any political entity. These things will pass away. We're going to inherit the whole earth. We're going to inherit the blessing of Christ forever. We've got a great future. And because we would love life, verse 10, and see good days, let's live as a community. Let's look like the members of the community that is the United Kingdom of Jesus Christ, that heavenly entity that will never pass away, that heavenly entity in which ultimately people will live in perfect harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate, and be humble. Let's look like the community that we want Scotland to be. Let's look like the community that we want our area to be, that we want Lochalsh to be. Let's look like the community that people long for. Let ourselves be people who live in deep community because we share this thing. In our hearts, Jesus Christ is Lord.